Welcome to the podcast service of Sydney's FM 103.2, available on the web at fm1032.com.au.
I think most of us would recognise that generosity is a good thing. It's a good thing to be a generous person, but there are so many worthy causes around. It's not always easy to prioritise where our money should go. For the last 5 weeks, we've been talking with Dr. Gordon Preece from the Macquarie Christian Studies Institute about work and money and how to get a grip of those things. Tonight, we're kind of wrapping it up with our final topic, gracious living, gracious giving. Gordon, welcome back to the studio.
Thanks, Sharon.
Grace. What do you mean by the concept of grace?
Well, I'm trying to pick up on what the Apostle Paul talks about to the Corinthian church, where he uses a sort of wordplay on the idea of grace and generosity in the original, and talks about God's incredible generosity to us in Jesus, even though he's rich, who became poor for our sakes, coming down out of heaven to earth. And that's the basic model for our giving. And then he talks about other people like the Macedonians up in the north of Greece, who were incredibly generous. Even though they didn't have a lot to give, they were extremely generous in giving to the Jerusalem church, which was going through a famine. And he's kind of urging almost, if you get the right sense of it, a competition in grace, in generosity. And rather than seeing it as a zero-sum game, if I give this away, I don't get that. It's seeing it in the context of a sort of circle of God's generosity and God's graciousness. When we suffer from famine or something like that, God will stir up the hearts of others through his generosity to give generously to us because we belong to each other. It's not based on guilt. I think often we kind of try and get people to give out of guilt, and that's not a good kind of motivation or a lasting kind of motivation. It's not based on fear. Again, that tends to be not a lasting kind
fleeting.
Of motivation.
Yeah.
It's really based on a long-term thing, because God's generosity is long-term. So we can keep on responding in terms of gratitude, and gratitude leads to generosity.
Raises the question as to whether you can really, if you haven't tasted grace or experienced grace, whether you can really be a generous person, a gracious person.
Yeah, I think whether you can be a cheerful giver. That's a biblical phrase. And I guess I find one of my challenges in life is often I kind of spend myself and I work really hard and will give a fair bit of time, et cetera, and money in some ways sometimes. But sometimes I find myself grumpy with it. And one of my prayers is often, God, help me to be a cheerful giver. Sometimes my wife warns me about becoming a cranky old man. It's one of my fears. I don't want to become a cranky old man. So I pray that God will help me to be a cheerful giver. There's a sense of joy about it, a sense of delight in being able to do that for other people.
Are we talking about just money when we're talking about being generous? Do you think there's other forms?
There's time. Like, that can be one of the most generous things that we can actually give to people in our time-poor society. For those who are, working very, very long hours in the 24/7 society, to actually give people time and space to be hospitable, I think is one of the most basic biblical words. I think if we put generosity and hospitality together, I think they're almost like master metaphors or pictures of the Christian life or the spiritual life.
And our society squishes hospitality out of us, doesn't it? We were speaking to Ravi Zacharias recently. And I asked him about, the comparison between living in the Western societies and his growing up in India. Mm-hmm. And he was saying something very, very interesting. He said, I've spent years in the Western world. When you get home at night, I don't know why it is, but we come home, we're exhausted. We just want to shut our doors. We want to retreat to our rooms. We just want to rest. We don't want to talk to too many people. He said, in India, it's exactly the opposite. You come home, the doors are wide open. You go and talk to the neighbors. You actually come and you share drinks and sweets and all of those kinds of things. He said, boy, I miss that.
Yeah,
there's something about our society. It squashes hospitality.
Yeah, we've become very individualistic. And we tend to surround ourselves with consumer goodies and that to try and replace community. And so everyone has a TV in their own room, etc. And people just spend all their time in their own rooms. They have a computer there. They get into the internet. Then they have kind of artificial online kind of community. And I don't want to knock that, but it's not a real... It's a good complement to face-to-face community, but it's not a replacement for face-to-face community. Our problem is that what we've done now is we've made all these things about celebrity chefs and that, where people get intimidated and they think if they don't put on some kind of gourmet feast as a performance, but why not have something simple with style? And maybe we can start educating people about doing that. Like, we used to have lunches at church after church, when we'd just have a dollar dinner, we used to call it. And it might be bread rolls with salad and fruit. And particularly the older people in the parish, they used to really look forward to it. It was the best meal of the week for them, because one, they didn't have it by themselves, and two, it was actually quite healthy and they didn't have to prepare it themselves. Mm. And we just got the small groups in the parish to take turns at doing it. So there wasn't a great burden on people. Also, we need to think about how we do that in relationship to men and women, because the women still tend to do the bulk of the hospitality. And I'm of the generation that's not a great cook, so that's an issue. I do the washing up and that. But we need to work out ways in which we share it out, so it's simple and generous, and so the people providing the hospitality can be cheerful givers.
Yes. And how do we carve out time out of our busy lives to actually be generous people, to live generously? How do we buck the trend?
I think we have to learn to say no. Now, my wife is going to laugh at this point, because she's always telling me,
physician, heal myself.
No, and I don't have to give people my whole life story as to why I can't do something when I can't do it.
My wife picked me up on that too, Gordon.
Yeah, so we might have a sharing session afterwards.
Maybe we will.
About this, sure. I think we have to almost build into our diaries time for hospitality, time for sharing. Now, that needs to be balanced with time for ourselves as well, and our narrower families, if you like. But we need to budget for it in some ways. I think, again, like giving, I think what we need to do is not just do it in a really willy-nilly, indiscriminate kind of way, but I think we need to try and do it in ways where we spend good time with people, where it's not rushed, where we're not flustered. Just as when we give, we need to do that in a relational way. And we shouldn't be just kind of giving a bit of money here, a bit of money there, etc., etc. But we should be looking at, like Jesus says, and I think Luke 16, the parable of the unjust steward, it's a puzzling parable. But really what he's saying is we should make friends who will ultimately greet us in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven. And we should use money to forge good relationships. Not in the sense of manipulating or making people dependent. But so in our giving, how do we develop those good long-term kinds of relationships with various groups, with various causes?
Oh, okay. So you think that maybe we should have just a handful of groups that we continue to give over a long period of time?
Yeah, I think that tends to be better than just giving a little bit here and a little bit there. And that also means we learn to pray for those people too.
That's a really good point. If you just throw your money around, if you send little bits and pieces here and there everywhere, maybe you don't even talk to that group again, that's a good point. There's actually no relationship you've built with that particular organisation over a long period of time.
Yep.
To help them, help the people that they're working with.
Yeah, and again, like I keep harping on this through virtually all the different sorts of questions that you've put to me. The relational issue is fundamental through all these sorts of issues. It's hospitality or giving, the way we work, etc. How do we forge good relationships with God, with other people, with the earth? How do we develop those kinds of things?
That's good question.
Fundamental, I think.
This has been a fascinating series to have you drop by for the last 6 weeks and explore this, because if there's one thing that we need to get a grasp on, it's money, it's work, it's bringing those two things together with Christian faith so that there's not this dichotomy between it. So thanks so much for your time and your expertise for the last few weeks.
Pleasure. I've enjoyed it.
It's been great. Dr. Gordon Preece from Macquarie Christian Studies Institute. And of course, this is the kind of stuff that he's teaching all the time. So if you'd like to find out more, mcsi.edu.au.
We hope you enjoyed this FM 103.2 podcast. To listen to more great audio, visit fm1032.com.au.